I want to read to you from Romans chapter 15, if you want to open your Bibles. Romans chapter 15. We who are strong ought to bear with the feelings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the spirit of unity amongst yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Again it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praise to him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations, and the Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray together. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would now fill us, that you would prepare each heart to listen to your word, and that, Father, the Holy Spirit would draw people to Jesus. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen. What is it you hope for most? I'm sure if you were to sit down with a piece of paper and a pen and say, this is really what I want out of life, those aspirations, desires, hopes would vary from person to person. Some may have a bucket list that would extend to the car park. Maybe you have so many things that you want to do, so many things that you want to complete, so many dreams and aspirations to chase, so many hopes. Some of you might be too frightened to hope at all. Maybe your experience of life has been cruel, harsh. From a child, you remember how disappointing it is to hope. It could have started at Christmas, when you penned the letter with the expectation that you would receive certain gifts, only to be disappointed with what was left under the tree. Maybe as a child, you hope for more friendships, more joy, happiness, contentment. Maybe you hope that life would be different for your parents, for your brothers and sisters. And you were crushed with disappointment. Life has taught me that smiles and pretensions never cover up too much disappointment. So many people can hide behind even success with the blight of disappointment. Dashed dreams, aspirations, and hopes lie ruined. The Bible is about hope. And in this particular passage, it's about a people that were excluded originally from that hope. The gospel had been given to a nation to become a light to the Gentiles, but it took centuries before the Gentiles heard it in the way that they embrace today. When Jesus Christ walked this earth, He walked into the highways and byways, those that were marginalized, perhaps even those that had given up on being included in what God was seeking to do. And He offered them the thing that all of us die without. That is hope. This passage gives us an insight into how hope can be rediscovered. And who is the source of hope? The first thing that I want to say is that you cannot build it for yourself. This verse 13 makes that quite clear. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Part of the difficulty with trying to create hope for ourselves is that if we do it in our own power, it will lead to disappointment. We will never truly be satisfied with those things that we create that we believe will bring us hope and joy and peace. It will elude us. Because joy actually is quite surprising. Joy is difficult to pin down. Joy can be elusive. How many of us pinpoint those tremendous times in our lives when joy should be present? Joy at getting married. Joy at giving birth to a child. Joy at getting that promotion. And whilst those things may fill us with joy, and there may have been a moment when we looked at it and we said, we are joyful about what we have received. The surprising thing about joy is that it can capture us without preparation over the silliest and most trivial moments. We could sit down and be drinking a hot chocolate and at that moment be filled with joy. We could be out walking on a country lane and in a moment catch a sunset. And suddenly we find welling up within us that great sense of joy. We could be involved in an off-chance conversation with a friend and experience a heightened joy that we had not experienced before. And the reason we find it difficult to harness joy if we are living without God is that we're never too sure what will ultimately bring it. Because we've been disappointed at times in life's most wonderful events, the joy isn't as intense as we would have thought or have hoped for. It says in this passage, and it's something that we must take to heart today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can receive these things. The power of the Holy Spirit can implant in you something that you have not been able to create or manufacture or copy from somebody else. No matter how much effort or energy we have placed into the pursuit of it, it can elude us unless we understand the true source of our joy, the true source of our hope, and the true source of our peace. And that is the hope of the gospel, that we find that true source of power to live life in life and in death. And this passage says at the very start of it, in verse 13, may the God of hope fill you. That's what he wants to do. The God of hope wants to fill you. He wants to fill up your life. He wants to place in it something of value that you can enjoy and experience. Something that the world cannot give. Something that you cannot give. But something only God can give. If you turn with me to Psalm 43, verse 4. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. And then Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11. You have made known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Now, I don't doubt for one moment that some of you without God, and any of us without God, kind of joy. There is joy to be found in the things that God has created, in the birth of a child, in finding a friend or marrying someone, in having close friendships with those that you travel life with, the simple sunset that brings you pleasure, passing your exams, gaining that promotion, having a fulfilling job. All of those things can bring us joy, but do they bring us the joy that we seek? Do they bring us the ultimate joy that we need? Here the psalmist says that he has given pleasures at God's right hand, that he has a joy in God's presence, that he has a pleasure that he finds there. You have made known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence. The Holy Spirit, when you embrace Him, when you ask Him to fill you up, fills you with a joy. And that joy is that you're in God's presence, the source of all joy. The one who radiates joy, the one who extends joy to you. Now think about that for a moment. You have found someone in life that you have joy with. Great, wonderful, gift of God. But it's not the gift. It is an expression of the God who gives, but the ultimate gift is His relationship to you. The ultimate gift is the hope of the gospel that Jesus was born, that He lived the life that He lived, that He died on a cross so that your sins could be forgiven, and that He extends to you a friendship that He offers out of free grace, and that if you embrace that relationship, you embrace Him into your life. And He fills you with joy. Joy unspeakable. The joy of intimacy and a relationship with Him. To have a conversation with God. To speak to Him. To tell Him all your fears, all your anxieties, all your concerns, all your worries, all your pleasures, all your joys, everything. To share that life with Him. It's the joy that He offers you. That's why we get heartbroken when we lose friends. Because God has created within us the capacity for relationship, the capacity to enjoy those around us, those that we sit beside this morning, those that we may lift the telephone to and speak to later, those that we will text later, those that we will share coffee with maybe this week, those that we will want to be along with so that we can have a conversation with them. And when that's ripped out of your life, Something of you disappears. Why? Because God has built you to enjoy relationships, but the ultimate relationship is with Him. The ultimate relationship of joy can only be found there and in His presence. He extends to His pleasures. He is the source of joy. And secondly, He enables a true perspective. Turn to Psalm 4, verse 7. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. I love this verse. When it talks about hope, when it talks about joy, when it talks about peace and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, you have filled my heart with greater joy. Sometimes if you listen to preachers, sometimes you listen to people give their testimony, it's as if they had no joy before they became Christians. That wasn't the case. Well, at least it wasn't the case in my case. There were things that I found pleasure in. There were things I got great delight out of. There were things that I thoroughly enjoyed. Some I could keep, others I had to give up when I became a Christian. But nonetheless, there was pleasure in these things, but there was not the pleasure that God intended. There was not the joy that He had laid aside for those that were to truly love Him and find His grace and His forgiveness and His mercy. And the psalmist writes that. He says, "You have filled my heart with greater joy." I'm not suggesting that outside of God today you have nothing to celebrate. You do. That you don't have joy. You have. But what we're suggesting to you today is that there can be an even greater source of joy, an even greater abundance of life, an even greater fulfillment and satisfaction than you currently possess. And for those that are Christians, this is a journey. So you may feel that your joy has been inhibited in some way or that it's been restricted in others. But you can find a true source of joy again in your relationship with God. You need no one else but Him. No matter what this world tells you, no matter what you tell yourself, He, if He is the source of all joy, if He is the friendship that He gives, He can fill you with joy unspeakable, greater joy than even what you possess right now. If you open up your life to Him at this moment, He will fill it with the Holy Spirit, and you will have joy. We get a truer perspective on this, and when we get into that relationship with God, we have a peace. In Luke chapter 2, don't need to turn to it. Verse 10, "Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." At this Christmas time, joy could be extended to you because the hope of the gospel is being given. The hope of transformation and change. A hope that is eternal. One final verse that we're going to share together. And it's found in John chapter 16, verse 22. Please turn to it. John chapter 16, beginning to read at verse 17. Some of His disciples said to one another, "What does He mean by saying, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? Because I'm going to the Father?" They kept asking, "What does He mean by 'a little while'? We don't understand what He is saying." Jesus saw that they wanted to ask Him about this, and so He said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, But your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child is pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again. And you will rejoice. And no one will take away your joy. And that's the heart of the gospel and the hope of Jesus Christ. If your joy is found in what you have created, it will be taken away. You cannot safeguard it. No matter how hard you try, no matter how often you try to protect it, it can be taken away so easily. I got a lot of pleasure, a lot of joy out of sport. I was a jack of all trades and a master of none. There wasn't a sport that I didn't enjoy playing, except golf, if that's a sport. Although I did extend my right arm with a golf club once, and it went quite a distance. It was more like a hammer throw than a golf course. I get frustrated with it, but I loved sport, but injury can take it away. It can happen in a split second. And suddenly, if all that you ever did and the pleasure that you ever found was in playing sport, a moment's tragedy has changed your life. It's not even from the comfort of the armchair that you watch it, because you just get continually frustrated that you can't play it. Those who find their joy in their job. Sin gives give way to fears that maybe you're not doing it as well as you once did, that you're not as sharp as you used to be, that you're not as skillful as you once were, that there are young pretenders coming behind who actually are better at your job than you are. And in a competitive marketplace, you find yourself under extreme pressure. The thing that once brought you joy now brings you heightened stress and concern. You're always having to update, develop, improve. The aspirations for joy and the hope of the career that you have formulated bring more sleepless nights now than the sense of fulfillment that you once possessed. If our joy is found in our relationships, yeah, they're good gifts, but many of them are temporal, if not all. We know that one day, because we live in a broken world, that will alter, that will change. And if that's the only source of hope and joy that we possess, then we're left bankrupt emotionally, spiritually. If our joy and happiness and peace and fulfillment is found in our prestige and in our status and in our income, that changes. I truly believe that one of the problems that many successful sports people have, and also perhaps anyone who's just generally famous, is the day they walk down the street and no one recognizes them. Young people walk past them, don't know who they are, don't know what they've achieved, don't know what they have done. And suddenly they become very aware that they're just ordinary people. They eat like everybody else. They try to sleep like everybody else. And now they live like everybody else. But this passage says something that is life-changing. Jesus said, "So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. No one can take it away. It is eternal. Poverty, pain, sickness, death, human catastrophe, acts of foolishness and recklessness do not change the relationship that God wants to form with you. And He will say today, you embraced me into your life. You may grieve. There may be times of sorrow. There may be times of suffering. But the joy that I will give to you will be eternal. The world won't take it away, because it can't. The world couldn't quash my love. And I can't rob you of what I will place in your heart. Today, that's a source of hope that changes individuals and nations if we'd embrace it into our life. No matter how hard it is, no matter how difficult that message may appear, what alternative do we possess? Life with God is difficult. Life without Him can become impossible. Let us pray.